We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to Monday here in beautiful Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. And we would like to thank you for joining us. We spend Monday through Friday here with you for about a half hour talking about God's word and growing in our understanding of the word and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to welcome you to today's program. We also want to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. And if you've listened to the program for very long at all, you will know that Coastal Image Landscapes, I got to know them because I was looking for a contractor to make some upgrades to my backyard and do some work on the front yard as well. And they were the third contractor that showed up. I'd had three referrals, and so I just went down the list and set up appointments. They were the third appointment that showed up. They were the only one that followed up. But when they showed up at my door, Dan said, I know who you are. And he listens to the radio program. So hi, Dan. Hi, Treasure. And we want to thank you all for listening. But they did an amazing job at our house. They have done amazing work at our church and have done other projects for people that I know as well. And they come highly recommended, not just by the people that I know, but every time somebody reaches out to the Merritt Island community on Facebook, there are numerous recommendations for Coastal Image Landscape. So whatever your plans are for this year, I encourage you to call them at 321-208-2281. That gets you in touch with Dave, who is part of the lawn care division. Dan does the landscaping portion, pavers and sprinkler systems and pumps and things like that. He's done all of that for us and installed a tank to keep our church from getting rust stains on it. They've done some pruning and cleaning up landscape. Their skill set, and in fact, there's some things that he's mentioned to me. They are able to install like putting greens and things like that. Their skill set is probably greater than I'm aware of. And so whatever you've got planned, give them a call, because they would be amazing at doing your project for you and get it done right the first time. That's always something that we like to happen. So give them a call, 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So right now we are going through Matthew chapter 24. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going through that portion where there are people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name, we did this in your name, and Jesus' response will be, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. And that's something that we never want to hear. And so practicing lawlessness, living your life outside of the mandates of God's word, both the things that it says to do and those things that it says not to do, will get you excluded from the presence of God. We don't want that for you. It's amazing to me whenever I listen to people in society, and they will say things like, well, the Bible just doesn't ever address this particular topic. And without even straining a brain cell, I can say, but it does. It does. It says you're not supposed to do this. It says you are supposed to do this. This is what the Bible plainly and specifically says. And so in America right now, there is a tremendous plague of biblical illiteracy. There's an assault on our society where people are practicing lawlessness, and not only practicing it, but demanding lawlessness be the law of the day. And I did say that the way that I meant to. The people who are practicing lawlessness are now demanding lawlessness be the law of the day. So if you hold to the word of God, if you believe in the rule of law in America, then you are in persecution territory, because you are standing in opposition to people who want to do whatever's right in their own eyes. And so in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 24, we were covering this yesterday, it says, or last Friday, it says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So, well, the majority of this text is talking about the conditions that will be running contrary to the law of God. The ultimate conclusion of this passage of Scripture is this: the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. So lawlessness will not prevail. The good news of Jesus Christ will be dispensed on a global scale so that everyone has had the opportunity to respond to Jesus' glorious invitation of repentance, forgiveness, and empowerment to live a godly and holy life. So in verse number 9 on Friday, we had been talking about that people would be arrested, they would be delivered up to tribulation. By the way, there is a difference between living in a world of tribulation where there's, you just live in a fallen world and there's going to be problems that arise from that. You are going to experience tribulation because living a godly life is something that just angers the devil, and he wants to make life as difficult for you as he possibly can. But we are, there are those tribulations, and then there's the great tribulation that's described in the Word of God, and that's where you have trouble because God has been rejected, and now he's dealing with the people who have rebelled against him. So just because you have difficulties in this world doesn't mean you're supposed to give up on him, and it doesn't even mean that you're doing anything wrong. In fact, sometimes you can experience tribulations because you are doing the right thing. And the people that are the oppressors in this will even take that to the extent of capital punishment. They will have no problem equating believers with people who are murderers. The people who right now are saying, you can't have laws on the books where people who have done these horrific things can experience the punishment of their crimes. It doesn't matter how many people they killed. But yet there's going to be a reversal of that standard whenever it comes to believers. You can mark the word of God on that. Don't mark my word. Mark the word of God on that there is coming a time where people who right now are against capital punishment are going to say, with the exception of murdering disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We are not supposed to be hated because we are difficult to deal with. We are not supposed to be persecuted and hated because we have bad personalities. It is supposed to be because we are living testimonies of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this world hates the light and loves the darkness. So we are supposed to live our life for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever consequence that comes as a result of that, so be it. That brings us to verse number 10, and that's where we're going to pick up on today's study. And it says, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. So let's take a look at that. It says, and then many will be offended. And the word that I'm familiar with that talks about offense and being offended, that comes from the word scandalizo. It's a word where we would get the word scandal from, and it is the past, or it's the term. There's another mention of this word in the Gospels. And John Bevere wrote a great book about it a couple of decades ago. It was called The Bait of Satan, how Satan loves to get people into living in a condition where they're offended. So what we see going on in America right now is that there is almost tyranny of the offended. What I mean by that is that there are people who, if you do not agree with their choices, if you do not agree with their lifestyle, if you do not agree with their philosophy, then they are offended and they insist on living a life where they are not supposed to be offended. And so all of that sounds good until you realize that what they are demanding is that they have the ability to offend others while they themselves live in a privileged status of not being offended. Well, it's more than just offended. Offense here means to be caused to sin or to be in a position where you are caused to stumble or fall, or you are being offended, or you are tripped up. And so it's basically describing a people whose mindset is this, that because of whatever is going on and because of the impact of believers, and that they are a hindrance to this lifestyle of lawlessness, that these people will live offended and they will refuse to come to faith. So there are people that say things like this, I can't do that. What they mean by that is not that they lack the ability, but it is a matter of their will. They will not do that. So there are people who will hang on to their sin and they will refuse to let that go. And because they are still clinging to those things that we talked about last week, about things that are, they've touched and laid hold of things that are unclean, that are separating their behaviors, that are separating them from the presence of God, that they will have the inability to grasp the truth of Jesus Christ and the wonderful life that it means. In a passive sense, to live in an offended state means that you have chosen a life of apostasy, where you have chosen to stop following Jesus. I have some wonderfully intelligent, according to the world standards, wonderfully intelligent people that I grew up with. I grew up with them in church. And yet, they had the same Sunday school teachers I had. Their parents were dear friends of mine. They heard the same sermons, but they don't believe the Word of God. They have a very loose affiliation with the Word of God, and so they treat the Word of God more like a buffet bar. And so they are not passionate in pursuit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're more passionate about a pursuit that doesn't line up with the Word of God. So even though they would claim to be Christians, there's really no effort. There's really no effort to follow Jesus at any given point in time. And so there will be many who will be living offended, and they will be offended at people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, they will betray one another. I have made this statement, and you know, I'm not making it as a blanket statement. I'm just making it as an observation on my life. I know that 1968 was a very unsettling year. There were a lot of political assassinations that took place. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. There were riots in, I believe, in L.A. County. There were also riots at the Democratic National Convention. There was a lot of unrest in the country at that point in time. I realized that during the Civil War that there was a great deal of division. There was, you know, families who were literally fighting one another. And the statement that I have made is, in my lifetime, and I was alive in 1968, but I don't remember such a division that is taking place on a national scale as what we are experiencing in America, in our here and now. It's been going on, and it's been getting more intense. The division has not gotten less. It has become greater. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, this period of time there was greater division, and this time, well, you know, I'm not looking to establish a new record of greater division, but I can tell you, you've got to really have your eyes closed hard if you don't see that America is a divided country right now. And it's to the point where there is not even any civil discourse between sometimes Christians who are on different aisles of certain contemporary events. There are intense feelings that are going on there, and to the point where you can't even have a conversation about it. So back at, I think it was back right around Christmas time, that there were people that were talking about that the division between generations has become so intense that children are depriving their parents of even seeing their kids because there is such hatred along a political spectrum. What we're talking about in Matthew chapter 24 is not just a political hatred. This is a spiritual hatred. The people who are hating Christians are the people who would be preaching tolerance. They are the people who would be preaching coexistence. There are people who would be preaching, basically that the only path to unity is for you to abandon your faith and come and believe like the other side believes. And so there is a hatred. He said, you will be hated not by some people, but by all nations for his name's sake. And so it says, and then many will be offended and betray one another. This hatred, which is the next thing that it says, and will hate one another. By the word, that hate is the very opposite of love. It is an aversion that results in separation from the thing that is hated. It is something that brings separation either physically or stop actions, thoughts, or ideas. In other words, this hate becomes something that not only separates people in distance, but it separates them physically from one another, and it also stops them from even thinking about a person or even entertaining an idea that they could possibly be wrong. Anyone who has to be right, and the only way to end an argument is for the other person to say, okay, you were right, I was wrong. If that's the only way, that is a caustic relationship. It is a unhealthy relationship. It is not going to be a long-term relationship. Because of that hatred, there will be betrayal of one another, where people will hand even members of their own family over for punishment. It would mean to hand over in order for there to be safe keeping or to be entrusted to someone. So that would be the positive sense. In the negative sense, betrayal would mean I am handing you over so that you can be dealt with in a corrective manner. So let's stop and look at this for just a moment. How many of you think that the devil would be the best person to bring about correction in this world? The very individual who rose up in pride and rebelled against God and said, I don't care if I've been given this high and lofty position and privilege, I want to be like God. And if I can't be like God, then I would rather not even be in his presence. Is that really the moral authority that we want dealing with correction? You know what his goal is? His goal is not unity under God. His goal is unity in rebellion to God. So whenever people start talking about unity, please understand that it is not unity to what I think. It is not unity according to what they think. The only biblical unity is when we have come together and we have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord, King, and Savior. When we come and say, that's the point of unity right there. So in politics, there are people that like to talk about unity, and what they mean by that is, okay, you're going to change your mind and you're going to change your resistance and you're going to start doing exactly what I want to do. I want you to know that's not compromise, and it's not even unity. That is subjection. That is dictatorial. And so we are not there for that. So I just want you to know that God's not caught on in an unawares position. God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows every step in the process in between there. If God has told you this is where you're going to begin and this is where you're going to end, you can rest assured that he's got the course plotted out. Be faithful. Be obedient. And remember that people are not our enemy. People are the treasure that Jesus is seeking. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers and darkness. We wrestle against all sorts of spiritual forces in high places and low places. We wrestle against things that are trying to keep people in bondage and keep them blinded to the truth. They're the prize that we're after. They're the prize that Jesus died for. Jesus said, I'm willing to lay it all down because I love them enough that I can forgive them. So there's some things we'll talk about on tomorrow's broadcast that we don't have time to get into today. But maybe you've got some people who are treating you badly simply because you're a Christian. Let me close out today and say this. The way that Jesus admonishes us to deal with them is that we forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We pray for them, and we bless them in the name of Jesus. Not one of those three things is an easy thing to do. It takes the grace of God. I think it was Mike Tyson said, you know, everybody has a plan until you get punched right in the mouth. Well, nobody likes to get punched in the mouth, but you know what believers can do? Believers can do what Jesus said, even during the difficult times. God makes the grace available to us that people who are persecuting us, we can love them in response. We can pray for them. We can forgive them. And we can bless them in the name of Jesus. Don't carry around a burden. Don't carry around unforgiveness in your life. Don't live offended. Live free of offense. Don't let the devil victimize you repeatedly over and over again. Set those people free and let God work in their life. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.